welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I got the crew here tonight, and even someone special. One of the guys took the night off.
On assignment.
That's right. Because he's got to prepare for the next show.
I think I saw him at the airport looking for autographs.
So let me introduce.
The only assignment that Lucky has is his ass is assigned to the couch.
There you go.
So the crew here, we got Matt Michaels. What's up, man?
Hey, man. You know, there's one thing that Hacksaw Jim Duggan always used to say about my mom.
Okay.
Oh!
I like that. Simon Street, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Blessed.
How do we introduce our guest here for the evening?
Very simple.
Yeah.
M-O-T-H.
M-O-T-H.
Man of the hour.
Oh.
There you go.
There you go. That's all you're getting today is an hour.
I was like fucking moth? What the fuck?
That's all you're getting today.
That's better than your usual man of 10 seconds.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
Well, you can't really spell that, so. Moth is easier to spell.
So we have Raven here in Las Vegas.
We're going to just get into the stories.
You want to get into the stories?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Cut out all the bullshit.
Don't worry about you two saying fuck. I'll just say it for you.
You hear that? We got a night off.
No fucking for us tonight.
No fucking.
I want to go back to a story I thought about. I think it's for the introduction, although, by the way.
All right, no doubt.
First of all, I want to thank Delta Airlines for being about 47 minutes delayed today. But at least they got the plane out up in the sky. And I believe the pilot either had a bet or a wife to come home to because he was gunning this plane. They said 45 minutes. He took 10 minutes off of it. You guys can check your text messages. I'm like, I'm pulling out of the gate, and the next text message was like, I'm landing. I'm like, really? Look at the time frame between that. Like, it was really, I'm like, okay.
And Vegas had that effect. It just does.
Yeah, you know, and the good thing also that Delta has, like, you know, actual great airplanes, unlike Spirit or other airlines. Like, their planes actually go fast. So,
and if Spirit would like to sponsor us, your airlines are amazing.
Everybody needs a Greyhound bus in the sky.
Southwest is just happy now.
Yeah,
you know, Southwest was like the TNA. And then Spirit came around, and they're like some local indie fed that's doing like hardcore matches in the back of a
backyard wrestling.
Not even a backyard, like in the back of a pickup truck where someone's like throwing a cinder block at someone's head, and just like, wow.
Oh, that's not fair, man. I saw Cobb flying, he was piloting a Spirit airline. So, you know what? They're on the right direction, they're on the right path.
Who was?
Cobb.
Jeff Cobb?
Yeah.
That little bitch. He is yet to accept my Cracker Barrel challenge. Now that he's ROH champion, yeah, we'll talk about that. Tomorrow at 10 a.m. Well, I can't even say tomorrow because we don't even know when this is airing. So I guess we really can't talk about current events.
Just talk about them.
You can. When this gets aired, just say the date. Today's date.
It was great that seeing Bobby Roode and Chad Gable win the tag team titles tonight.
Yep.
There you go.
Not a spoiler because by the time this airs, they would have
already known.
Probably have lost the titles by then.
I say it's one step better than the B team.
Chad would have turned on Bobby and worn his robe, and who knows what's. Yeah. But let's go back to the story that I had as I was stuck in traffic after I checked into the hotel today. I'm going to go back to 2000. It was actually 2000. Anaheim, California. WrestleMania 16. Mm. And I think the guy running the soundboard over here, one of his first WrestleManias he went to.
Mm-hmm. Really?
One of the first times wrestling shows he actually hung out was me. And it was even before the wrestling show. I was doing commentary with Coach, and it was a memorable experience, and I just found that tape recently.
Wow.
I don't have the VHS player to play it, so I just looked at the tape, but
yeah.
What else happened that weekend? I know we snuck into the pond at one point.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, because that's where we saw the setup before. Yeah.
Listen, before you came, I was telling Matt there was tons of things that I just thought I was going to be in jail many of times.
Weren't they testing the pyro that one? Yeah, they were testing the pyro. No, they really were.
They were. They were doing all types
of stuff. We snuck in so early, they were testing the pyro.
I remember eating catering food in the back of, I think it was, actually it was a pay-per-view. I want to say it was No Way Out in Vegas.
Yeah, we snuck in because that's when Shane pulled up in the taxi.
Exactly.
Yeah, Shane McMahon pulled up in the taxi.
And I'm down.
And literally, the only people in the arena were me, Impact, and Shane.
Yeah.
Shane. Wow.
Well, you know what? And speaking of Shane, it was March of 99. That was right before WrestleMania 15. Austin was doing Howie Mandel's talk show on NBC.
What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Going way back here. And so me and my buddy, he worked on something at NBC. He was just a gopher, basically. But back then, before 9/11, they literally just had these little schedules, okay, as your ID. So it said the year on top, and then it had the 12 little boxes. So he just Xeroxed it for me, threw it around my neck, no names or nothing, and we walked through NBC like it was nothing, right? And so we get back there, we get to meet Steve, and you know, he's walking out, and we're like, "Hey, Steve, what's going on? Can we take a picture with you?" "Oh, sure, boys, come on over, come on over. That's great. Oh, are you guys going to be at the pond tomorrow for the show?" Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going, Steve. "Great, I'll see you guys there tomorrow." "All right, bye, Steve." And we saw Shane and Marissa, his wife. Mm-hmm. They were lovely and wonderful. So now we're going, shit, we got to figure a way to get backstage and see Steve the next night because we just said we're going to see him. So we didn't think twice, right? So we take the same stupid passes. We go down to the security at the end of the house show. We flash these IDs that just say NBC 1999.
Right.
And they let us backstage.
Wow.
And we stayed around for about 15-20 minutes to actually see Steve. And we're, "Steve, what's going on?" "Oh, hey, I'm glad you guys made it. How'd you guys enjoy the show?" It was fucking amazing.
Wow.
He was just, that's the kind of guy he is.
Sure.
You know, but everyone else, but that's the first time I ran into Vince. And Vince McMahon, it's wonderful because you didn't know he was there, but you felt, it's like if Darth Vader walked into the room, you feel this presence. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you turn around and it's like, "How you doing, boys?" And it's like, holy shit, it's Vince.
That's what he said to you?
Yeah. It was like, "We're doing good."
Yeah.
And that's the first time we saw Stephanie, had not been on TV yet.
Yeah.
It's the first time we saw her in person, backstage. Talk about natural knockout beauty. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Vince is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll probably tell you.
I mean, you know, the next thing he did was, "Bend over and kiss my ass. Kiss it. Come on. Look at pucker up."
Genetic jackhammer.
Wow. What do you think, Raven, the state of wrestling right now, man?
What state? California, it sucks.
Hey.
Nevada's just a tad bit better.
Oh, actually,
Northern California is very good. There's a lot of lazy fucks in Southern California. And they all bitch and cry and expect that, you know, there's, I can't name names, but some
what's, what do you think, what would be the right way about going about if you want to become a professional wrestler? It doesn't have to be a WWE superstar, but what would you say, what would the advice you would give to these people who aren't putting it in? How do you get them to do it?
I don't think you can. You either want it or you don't. You know, I don't think people made Michael Jordan do whatever he did as a kid to become who he is. You know, I don't think people make LeBron or Tiger Woods or Tom Brady. It's in their mindset because that's what they're focused on. They eat, sleep, conquer, repeat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard that somewhere.
somewhere, I think.
So to do and become what they have become, you know, and it's either in you or it's not. You know, it's the reason I'm people may want to say bitter about SoCal is because every Thursday, I believe, Brian Kendrick, you know, has free training for a couple hours, and really no one goes there.
Wow.
Because some people believe that they're the big shit because they're on KDLC or you know, they're in ROH every now and then or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, if you think you're that big of a shit, then go help Brian then.
So timeout.
Don't let him be the only one doing this. And a friend of mine who works at Best Buy is the one that's going to hang out and train with Brian. And it's like, why him? Like, why aren't these guys who actually want to become wrestlers and complain that WWE doesn't call them and so on? It's like, you should be there. If a WWE contracted talent is offering free training, you know, once a week, just go. You may learn something. At the least, you get his phone number. Yep. And he can always say, hey, so-and-so, like, when we're in L.A., there's this guy, he's always coming to training every week with me, like, can we at least get him to, you know, have pancakes thrown at him or something like that? You know, can he ask a stupid question in the front row for question Q&A answer? Like,
because that was something. A great segment.
I mean, but something, but yeah. It's like, you know, why is some guy who works at Best Buy the one who has the heart to go there, knowing that he's never, ever going to be a professional wrestler? But he's just doing it for the hell of it, and it's a free chance. You know, he's not doing it to mark out for Brian Kendrick. He could care less about Brian Kendrick. It's the fact that it's free, and he's able to do it. Wrestling schools, I mean, not saying they charge, you know, the prices or whatever, but, you know, most wrestling schools are anywhere between $2,500 to $5,000 to learn.
Yeah,
wow.
Just for a few months, you know, and Brian's unlimited. As long as he's there, you know, you can go and do it. So no one there has the heart. And like I said, I made a challenge on Facebook, you know, recently, and I said anyone in SoCal who gets signed by WWE in 2019, when you move to Orlando, I will pay for your first month of groceries.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah.
Nice.
That means a lot
to me. Yeah. And if you are listening to this, please, you know, he is serious. He will do this for you. And the other thing I do want to say is Kendrick is doing his teaching at Santino Brothers. Please, if you are hearing this and you are someone in Southern California who has the passion to wrestle, or like I did it, and I had to pay for my training, but I did it as a hobby.
Same here.
So I can never say that I didn't do it, right? And you'll never have that regret. So please, I urge you, if you have the heart and passion, you just want to see what it's like, there's nothing better than running the ropes. There's nothing better than taking that first bump, man.
Yeah.
I have a question. So, as you know, I'm not a spring chicken, but we've talked about, you know, I want to go back and to do training. Don't know where it's going to go, but just go. So for people that are mid-30s, we know how the business is, particularly WWE.
Hopefully.
You know.
I don't know about the ones at the airport. But.
Yeah, I don't know about those ones. But, you know, what if somebody still has that passion and still wants to, you know, to try? You know, even though you're up in your mid-30s or maybe upper 30s, hell, maybe even 40s, and you just want to do it.
Why not?
You know, exactly. So what would you tell that person? Because I'm going to be honest with you, whenever, and I only recently stopped about a year ago, but when I was going, people would ask, you know, once they find out how old I was, even like, oh, so you're just doing this for fun? And I was like, well, I'm riding the horse for as long as I can. You know, and wherever it goes, whether but it's, you know.
It's like, why not, though? I mean, that's what I tell people. Like, why not? You know, if for people who like basketball, they'll go to a local court and do a pickup game, you know, in their mid-30s because they love it. So it's like, why not, you know? But my issue is just with the ones who actually sit and want to be pro wrestlers. And, like, you're not doing anything to further your career. You know,
well, it, you know what? And
driving from LA for 2 hours to somewhere doesn't mean like you have road trips. You know.
Well, and that's the thing that I think you're hitting on, that it's very different to be pursuing it and actually aggressively trying to brand yourself and become an actual wrestler, as compared to those people who might have matches here and there, and But the whole thing is they call themselves pro wrestlers
because they think they get bookings every week. That doesn't make you. And you said you use the powerful word, and that's brand.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't brand yourself, then what are you doing? Yep. You know, I mean, everyone wants to hate on the Kardashians, but they have branded themselves.
Yep. Right?
You know, and I respect them for that. Honestly, they really have. Like, they have branded themselves.
I want to say something, but I'm not. I'm going to hold back.
Well, I'll say.
You don't have to hold back.
I'm very pleased with their brand, and
I'm sure. I'm sure you would want to brand them too. It's on your bucket list, but still, but they've mastered the art of branding themselves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, bringing it back to pro wrestling, the Young Bucks, they've learned how to use social media.
Yep.
Twitter and YouTube are free.
Yep.
And they have learned how to master Twitter and YouTube to a point to where their contracts are up. They're the biggest free agents, you know, around.
And they're in the conversation. I
mean, these are two kids from Victorville
who
are now, you know, the biggest free agents. I think their story about how they got into Hot Topic is one of the greatest stories I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
I haven't heard that.
Long story short, when WrestleMania was in Orlando, 2 years ago, or last year, I think, the owner of Hot Topic went to WrestleMania. I think he wanted to see the spectacle of it.
Right.
And I guess a few weeks later, he called, contacted WWE. He was like, hey, we want to carry your merchandise, especially all of those Bullet Club t-shirts. And, you know, they had to swallow their pride and said, those are the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
So the guy found the Young Bucks, and the rest was history.
Gosh, wow.
But again, perfect story of Brandon, because at the end of the day, it's not even just with pro wrestling. It's just with anything you decide to do. If you have a brand, make sure that you are putting every effort you can. And at first, it may not be the results or the clamor you're getting at first. Some people are like, okay, that's not cool or whatever. Keep going. You have to believe in it. So when you believe in it, it's going to carry it the distance.
Because you have to realize the owner of a clothing store went to a WWE event and was so in awe of how many shirts he saw of this one brand. And he was like, this has to be a WWE thing because no one can be this big.
Right.
And the fact was that there was a group of people who were bigger than the WWE merchandise. And, you know, that's how hard they worked to get that logo, that name out there. Because there are, I mean, I've been to shows all around the country, and I'm just in awe of how many Young Bucks and Bullet Club shirts I see. I was in Houston last year for Survivor Series, and I'm not joking. Like, literally 80% of the arena was Young Bucks Bullet Club shirts, and you would have thought you were at a non-WWE event, you know, just based off of looking at the shirts. So,
and that's a good segue to remind you guys that you're listening to the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And down the line, speaking of branding, you'll be able to get your own Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting t-shirt. So keep your eyes out, kids.
Buy the shirt.
And if Hot Topic's listening, yes, you can carry the shirt in your store.
You can carry it. Yes.
That's right. Going back to
WrestleMania 12, 16, whatever.
Young Bucks, or even Kenny Omega, or even Cody, although he's been there. Of course, they don't have to go to WWE, but do you see a time where you will see Kenny there and Young Bucks there, or you think they just want to stay away from it, period?
I think the Bucks will eventually. Only because they have kids, and the thing with kids now is to see your shirt in a big arena every week. Their kids are getting to the age of where video games are going to be a part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really only one company that creates a video game. So it's like, you want to play dad in the video game, you know. I mean, right. I think you can see it a lot now with when Matt Hardy returned, you know, how his son's are playing with his action figures, which was something that they really didn't have when the Hardys were in TNA.
Right.
Even though the kids were younger, or at least one of them. But now it's like, you know, you see pictures of the kids with all the Hardys stuff, and it's like, if they weren't in WWE, like, they wouldn't have that. They wouldn't be in the video game right now. So, you know, I think I can't even say to do a service to their fans. You know, I think they understand their fan base. Hopefully their fan base understands whatever decision that they're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure a lot of their fans don't want them to go to WWE.
I'm sure that
because,
well,
you know, you see a lot of stuff. And, you know, do I see them going to NXT? No. I think they both own...
Time out. Did you just say that you don't see them going to NXT? Can we send that segment to Lucky?
I'll explain why. Because I've had this conversation with Lucky, and I'm like, dude, you don't understand. These kids just bought homes in California. These homes aren't cheap. Like, I mean, they're not like big-ass mansions, but these two kids own homes now. Mm-hmm. Like, not a duplex, not an apartment, not a condo. They actually own a home.
Right.
So, like, what makes you think they're going to be like, oh, I'm going to sign a contract and move to Orlando and I'm not leaving my family here? Like, they're not going to leave their kids and their wife in Victorville. And it's like,
but that's the difference between the Bucks and Lucky. Lucky would totally leave his family and kids.
Well, Lucky also has a Bible of Meltzer and Raja .com next to his bedside.
But I mean, Meltzer will even admit it'd be ridiculous for the Bucks.
He's going to be back next week, guys.
To sign for,
I know he's going to be back. Orlando. I'm hearing what you're saying.
No, but it's like, it makes no sense. Like, why would they? Like, they are so big as free agents. You can call your own shots.
Right.
It's like LeBron saying, you know, or the city of LA saying, hey, LeBron, we want you to come to LA, but, you know, you got to play with the Clippers at least for a year and a half. Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. So it's like, no, I'm pretty, anything's possible in wrestling, so I'll say I'm 99.9% sure that they will not go to NXT.
Yeah.
You know, they'll go straight to the main roster. I mean, they've already teasing stuff with main roster talent, you know, but I think it's just the fact that the people who are teasing certain incidents understand the internet. You know, the Bucks and the Revival understand Twitter. They, you know, it's possible because for so long, you know, Xavier Woods started challenging, you know, Kenny Omega. Then it turned out to the New Day challenging the Young Bucks. And while we did get that match via a video game, you know, convention, it was the fact that it actually happened. And it was the fact that, you know, these WWE talent were playing video games against these ROH New Japan talent and that the event was actually covered on WWE's social media site. So, you know, anything's possible. So,
yeah.
You know, who knows? The way wrestling's going now, they could just come in for a month, you know, just be gone. But
they're going to come in, beat the Revival in one match, and then they're gone, and the Revival is still buried.
I'm just wishful thinking. I was going to say, well, maybe it's such a great match that they're not as buried as much. But then again, that also has to do with, you know, who's on the roster in general for that. Because I always think that the Revival, just as a complete tag team, is just in a, you know, there's not much going on.
They're in a funk, but, you know, if you look at everyone who's been signed by or called up by NXT, it happens to all of them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Look how Asuka came in, dominated, and then after one loss at WrestleMania, she disappeared. And then it's like, where's Asuka? Like, you know, but, you know, it's happened. I mean, when's the last time No Way Jose has been in a Monday Night Raw ring? You know, I think people forget No Way Jose is caught up. You know, you have the Authors of Pain who disappeared for a second, then they came back and, you know,
But their success is based on one Drake Maverick pissing on everything.
But they were the tag champs before that.
Yeah, they were.
They came back, you know, they came back with Drake and they won the tag titles. So
it's just really funny though,
they did disappear for a second.
Right. But it's amazing how you can have something like them having a guy like Paul Ellering as, you know, in NXT, and it's just this wonderful fit. Then they come up, they get a little lost. And then you put them with a manager again, but you have a manager that you can use in the comedy situation, which is actually setting up, like you said, you know, Rude and Gable taking the tag title. I mean, it's weird that we can joke about it, but at the same time, it's still successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where you see the two versions of the company.
Yeah.
You see the Orlando version of NXT, and because, I mean, everyone in NXT was dominant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ember Moon, Authors of Pain, American Alpha, Asuka. You know, I think Asuka's the biggest one. And just come in and you see that there's different creative ideas once you get caught up. You know, do the people in WWE creative watch NXT? I'm not going to really answer that question right here, but you know,
NXT, what is this NXT?
Yeah,
so. Bring us this NXT. This is great.
Does that make you afraid when Velveteen does finally move up?
I think a certain son-in-law has a vision a Velveteen Dream, mm-hmm. and I think his father-in-law may see something different.
Right.
I mean,
of a comedy act.
Maybe. That could be built from West Hollywood. I mean, quite honestly.
Yep,
that's true. Know,
I think that's what is going to happen. You know,
we'll call him Fruity Pebbles.
But he's young enough to probably overcome it.
Yeah.
You know, it may take him a while. It may take him a year. I mean, look at... Still to this point, Apollo Crews is still not able to show his abilities.
He's amazing.
And then they teased him Monday Night Raw, where he just kind of came out of nowhere. I was like, oh, Apollo Crews still works here. That's amazing, because I like Apollo Crews.
I do, too.
So, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where I think he's going to be a very interesting call-up whenever it happens, because it's not the immediate call-up. Because the immediate call-ups, you're still hot.
Yeah.
You know, it's that... third or fourth month into the company, like Almas, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was hot on arrival. Vega, now he's chill.
Selena never wrestled in NXT. She was always a mouthpiece, and for the first 2 months in his SmackDown run, she was a mouthpiece. But then you put her into a match, and it's like it kind of took away from the greatness of the character,
right?
Like you know.
But now Aleister Black gets her mouthpiece every night.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have no comment on the happily married couple.
I will comment on them. I am very happy to hear about them and them being married. There's only a few wrestling couples that I get excited about, and that was one I was very happy about. Like, I'm being very sincere about it. I was very happy about it.
I hear a butt coming in, but...
You know. No, there's no butt. No. For once, Rome's not going to be an asshole. I'm serious. I was very happy to hear about them.
Wait a minute. What the fuck is a Rome?
If only the people listening could see what the fuck a Rome is. There you go. I said my one fuck for the... actually, no, I said two. And that wasn't going to work well. So, but I will say the one thing that I have as a fan have... conditioned myself, because I'm not gonna lie, I was an angry son of a bitch when I would, because I love NXT. So when I would have talent come up to NXT, I'd get super excited, and then to have to go through the waiting period, I ain't gonna lie, I was very disgruntled. But I've conditioned myself, like you were saying, because sometimes the proof is in the long haul.
Yeah.
Because the ones that really do shine out are finally getting there. So that's why, like, Revival, yes, it seems pretty bleak that they may or may not resurface from the ground, but I think that they have enough gas in the tank. As long as they stay healthy for the most part, I think that there will be an opportunity, especially if the scenario of the Bucks come over, because I think that would, just in my mind, would love to see as their first opponents.
Well, I mean, if you look at the tag team roster on Raw, I mean, you could probably figure if Authors of Pain don't get the tag titles back, then the next heels in line technically are the Revival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there could be a future for them. And you know, if it's that time of year, you know, if Authors of Pain got rematch after rematch till January, then you're already in the road to WrestleMania.
There you go.
If Revival's next, it could fall in place for them.
And
so
you're in the picture.
A lot of it's about timing. A lot of it also, you know, the thing with NXT is that it's a small pond.
Yeah.
So it's tough at times because there are a lot of great talent down there that could be champions all across the board. You know, yeah. when you saw Heavy Machinery, you're like, wow, these guys would be great tag team champions. Mm-hmm. And then you saw them get leapfrogged by Authors of Pain, mm-hmm. you know, and then they were leapfrogged by the Undisputed Era, mm-hmm. you yeah. know, and even Mustache Mountain. So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, and even they may even get leapfrogged by Street Profits.
Yep. Yeah.
And you're like, wait, like Tucker and Otis, they're a great team. Like yeah. they should be tag yeah. champs. But then you look at everyone I just named, you're like, well, yeah, they're tag team champion qualities also. So it's hard, but like once you become a star in NXT, it's because, you know, most of your career you're performing in front of 600 or however many people in Full Sail with five major arena performances a year.
Right.
Then it's like, you know, it's easier to become that big fish, but then it's like once you get caught up to the big ocean of the WWE, you're around all the big fish. You know, mm-hmm. you're not just, you know, Andrade Cien Almas, who is NXT champion with a great gimmick down in Full Sail. You're Andrade Cien Almas on SmackDown with Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, you know, Daniel Bryan. You're like, wow, okay. Like,
and he was in the best situation ever to have that match with AJ Styles. And, you know, actually, I felt like was one of the better rubs of this year in that position. Do you see what I'm saying? To where it really benefited him. Because then people who didn't watch NXT was like, who's this guy that wrestled AJ? Man, that was really fun, phenomenal match. I said, well, we've been watching almost for the longest. We get those matches all the time.
So then what do you think a talent can do? And I think this goes first at the indie level, and then at the NXT level, and then finally at the top level. What can they do to make themselves stand out and take control of that opportunity?
That's hard to say, because a lot of times it's just based off of the booker, who may not just really even be a booker. You know, they may just have money to promote a show. Yeah. But since it's their money and their show, they have the pencil and they write the storylines. And it's like, you know, obviously no company has 27 to 35 writers, you know. Right. So it's hard to say, because who would have ever thought that Joey Ryan could use his dick to become a superstar? I mean, this is a former...
It is amazing.
A former... Right.
And I don't mean his dick. I mean the fact that he can have his dick propelled him forward, yes.
A former ROH and TNA employee who was released by both companies figured out that his dick was the greatest aspect, you know.
And that's mind-blowing, because you would think out of all the things that wrestling has ever created, Vince would have been, I want the dick guy. Give me the balls and dick guy.
He had the balls and dick guy.
Well, there was I forgot what year, in the 2000s, the two dicks.
When you say dick in WWE, I only think of Val Venus.
Well, I mean, choppy, choppy PP, but...
that's all I think about.
No, there was a tag team, right?
Yeah, there was, and it lasted for what?
Yeah,
for
like 2 weeks. 2 weeks. On Velocity. Yeah.
Yeah. No wonder it was on Velocity, that's why.
Yeah. But when I think of two dicks, I go back to the tag team in WCW, the Hardliners.
Yeah,
Dick Slater and Dick Murdoch. Yeah, that's, no, because I've always read that I think it was Bischoff actually wanted to call them the two dicks, and they had to change their name to like the Hardliners or something like that. But
that's still in association with hard. Yeah, dick.
Yeah. I think that was what 95 era.
Yeah, that was early Bischoff in that transition before. Yeah. The NWO and all that stuff came in.
But no, I mean, it's hard, like I said. I mean, but Joey Ryan's another one who's figured out the power of social media, you know. I mean, just something simple of the airplane selfie, you know. Everyone does it now, you know. So it's hard to say, because I really think just promoters who run shows don't really know how to promote a wrestling show. They're booking matches from show to show, but they're really not telling storylines. Mm-hmm. They may tell a storyline for like one match, you know, but they're really not from show to show. And
now, would that be because of the fact? Now, I mean, back when I was in UPW in, you know, the early 2000s, the Rick Bassman made sure that from month to month, the shows that he was doing, he was setting up storylines. He was telling a story. Is it a difference between maybe that generation of someone who knew stories, knew things before he even really got into the wrestling promoting business, with the newer kids who are doing promotions without, you know, thinking about the level of what it takes to create, again, a good brand and tell a good story so you get a consistent audience and you help your wrestlers out to...
They just want to book show to show. They care more about their audience than they do about their product. You know, and that's why a lot of products looks like shit. That's why a lot of products look the same.
Yeah.
Because everyone just has a mindset. You know, I mean, that was one of my biggest struggles, but that we overcame when, you know, just with working with Trina for her 10-year run, you know, because everyone wanted the Brazzers version of Trina. And it's like, why? You can go on Google and see that.
Right.
And, you know, it took her maybe 10 seconds to realize that she wasn't going to do the Brazzers version of Trina, because everyone could see that. Why give people something you can already see?
Right.
Like, give them something different. And that extended her career. And yes, it hurt her career to an extent, because there were a lot of promoters that wanted that certain person to arrive to their building. And she's like, no, that's not me. And it lost her gigs. But at the end of the day, she got to debut for TNA, you know, and there's two big things happening for her next year.
Well, she already had two big things happening for her.
I digress. Okay, yeah, but still, but you know, I and she's another one that learned the how to brand yourself on social media. You know, it's like, I mean, I joke with her all the time. Like, she has, you know, when she was with TNA, you know, the short period she was. She has more followers than anyone in TNA. And these are people who are on TV every week. Yeah. People who came from Japan or WWE. Like, you know, she has... She was talking to someone from Crime Time recently, and I'm like, do you realize you have more followers than both of them combined? These are guys who are on TV for a good long period of time. Mm-hmm. And both of them combined don't have... And, you know, some people will be like, well, it's because she did this before, and I'm like, she hasn't done that in 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, what really, like, even if you took half of that, she still has more. So, but it was the fact that she utilized YouTube, and I tell people all the time, like, you have to utilize YouTube. It's free. You don't have to like sit and being your character the whole time. A lot of the videos of her is just me filming her pissing her off as we're like trying to get out of the parking lot for WrestleMania San Francisco because she took the wrong fucking turn. And she's really mad at me for bringing the camera out. And I think the only one who's actually on that level of paralleling that type of footage right now is Ronda Rousey. Yeah. So if you go on Ronda's site, it's her dude Mike, you know, her video guy, pulling out the camera when Ronda's like, yo, turn that fucking camera off right now. But that's what people want to see. They want to see that version of Ronda. Mm-hmm. You know, the version of Ronda that came home 2 weeks ago and literally cried because the coyote ate her goat, you know, and people were like, Ronda has goats? I'm like, yeah, she lives on the fucking farm. You know, but that's the type, that's what people want to see. Like, you know, you ask wrestling fans, oh, what's so great, you know, name something great on the network, and they'll always say the documentaries.
It's true. Yep. 100%.
The documentaries are kind of real, you know.
They're raw.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, they that's one thing they do a really good job of. And, you know, I'm very happy that the Delta plane that I was on today didn't crash, because the main producer of the documentaries was on that flight. So, you know, would have been kind of bad, but hey.
It would have been a hell of a documentary about the documentary maker.
Yeah.
Right.
And we are talking about Trina Michaels. Please, if you get a chance, go to YouTube and check the stuff out, because it is fucking hysterical when you piss her off.
Please continue to do so.
It seems like it's very easy to do.
I've been punched once. She's one time she slapped the camera on my hand, and I was like, you know this is the camera you bought. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to destroy it too.
Love it. Okay.
What is your take on women's wrestling right now? I mean, from the time when we was watching wrestling, and
it's no longer
it's no more puppies.
Seeing puppies.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great. It's weird how the industry for them has changed a lot. For not going to go too much into detail, but you know, for people who know me, know of a certain third generation daughter that I was hanging around with for a long time,
mm-hmm.
who couldn't even get into the WWE,
which yeah. I was shocked
because yeah. mm-hmm. they hired a Playboy model above mm-hmm. her.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you think of it like, wow, like if she was around now, she'd be in NXT, if not the main roster.
Right.
And that was really only maybe eight years ago.
Yeah.
If that long. So a lot has changed in a short period of time for the females. I've heard rumors of a possible Queen of the Ring pay-per-view
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
event. Obviously, they're always hinting towards tag titles. I think there may be a secondary women's title somewhere down the line, like an Intercontinental or TV title or something. Excuse me. But yeah, I think it's great. You know, it's good that they're not getting the 2-minute matches now. You know, they probably right. get about 2 minutes and 47 seconds or so, maybe 3 minutes now. But
what is the difference now in what if you were at an indie show, okay, and you come across?
Did I get comped?
Yes, you did. Okay. Of course you did.
Okay, just going to make sure. You were I wouldn't be here. But, I mean, I'm just being honest.
So you got wrestler A and wrestler B. They're both female wrestlers. What would be the difference between the two of them to, say, one getting signed and the other not getting signed?
You know, I really couldn't answer that because I have no idea. Like, oh... So, as few people know, or many to an extent, but I think it's few, I do a lot of scouting for the company. I work with some of the talent development managers. And there is one girl that I don't really pitch the wrestlers because they actually have, like, you know, Regal and Sarah Model to do that. But, you know, right. I'm more on the fitness model side and CrossFit girls. And there was one girl that I pitched, and I just... To me, she was perfect. She had the body. She had the look. She was Polish, so she spoke a different language. Very athletic. Many could say was the exact twin of Mandy Rose.
Mm.
But I don't know if that's what hurt. Or, you know, maybe in her tryout, they just didn't see the athletic version. Because the tryouts are tough.
Right.
I know there have been people from... Major League Baseball to the NFL to the UFC who's gone down there and tried out and just said it's too tough.
Yeah.
You know. But for the women wrestlers, you know, I just think, you know, the one thing I tell a lot of women is to stay away from some of the stupid shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get booked on an indie show, don't get booked in a bra and panties match mm-hmm. because then you're always going to be booked in a bra and panties
yep,
match
right.
and you're just killing yourself at that point.
Yeah.
Don't bleed. Like, there's no reason you need to cut yourself in a hardcore match. You know, I don't really like the whole male versus female matches.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a mixed tag and there's a spot that happens, that's cool. But when it's actually
underground,
when it's actually a match and it's, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, God bless everyone at Lucha Underground, but some of the shit was just like really
crazy.
You know, I'm like, but then I look at the people who did it, and I'm still not seeing their names on tryout right. list.
Well, there is one person that did.
Who? You can name names.
Jaleesa.
Who?
Isn't she in NXT now? Green? She was in Underground, and she was doing quite a few matches. When she had her small stint. I don't know how long
ago. Chelsea?
Chelsea Green?
Yeah, but I don't know if they saw her. That version of her, or
well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what they saw. I know what I saw. Well, I'm saying, and I was like, whoa.
She was in TNA also.
Yeah.
So, and I think she
did Underground for just a short stint.
She was on Tough Enough.
Yeah, yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was.
With,
yeah.
With Mandy and Sonya. Yep. So, you know, I think they kind of remember that version of her.
That's probably what it was.
Zack Ryder. But, yeah, I, you know, I know it's cool. It's, you know, there's one girl that I pitched. It's been two years now. She got a tryout. At the point, she was still young, and they told her, you know, because they told me too. They're like, you know, just do about another year and a half on the indies. You know, build yourself, keep your physique going, and, you know, we'll definitely call you back. You know, give you another tryout. And unfortunately, she kind of got hooked up to a certain whoever you're dating, that's fine, but if they're a hardcore wrestler, don't follow their footsteps. And yeah, the stuff she does now, they're, I mean, I know pretty much the company would not even look at her anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, in 2019, are light tubes still cool? I guess so. I guess, I mean, people are doing it. Thumbtacks, light tubes, like, I thought that was a whole different era. Like, I don't want to sound old or anything, you know, but it's like, what's the point? Like, you know, I don't see it. You know?
I think it's okay for, like, a gimmick match if you're going to do that, but as a mainstay,
if it's once a year,
yeah,
you know, because it's almost like, oh, we're doing WrestleMania every month, like.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it, too. It's just like, it's a bit much to be doing it, and it's not safe. I'm just going to be honest.
I just think it's not safe, you know, especially on the indie level.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, because most of these people don't
have health insurance.
No insurance. So I don't know what kind of cooties you have, and I'm going to go in there and bleed with you. I mean, come on.
You better be dating a nurse or a doctor. Pat your ass up.
Well, I mean, look at what happened to Ready to Rumble guy, you know.
Yeah, our cat almost broke his neck.
Yeah,
this guy's neck slit. It's like, really, dude? Like, I mean, luckily he has insurance, but it's like, if it happened to someone else, like, you know. So,
and that's, you know, that's a very good point, because it just makes me think about, like, XPW way back then.
Oh, with XPW.
See, here bring out another story.
Great.
XPW. I have many XPW stories. Let's see.
Yes, you do.
Which one should we? Well, we were kicked out of XPW many a times. Some of the best parts about XPW is that we figured out how to sneak into the sports arena, because you would just show up about 30 minutes after the show started, and they would let you walk right in. The X Park, we figured out that the black Mercedes that said XPW CEO, we would just walk to the door and be like, hey, I know Rob Black, and he put us on the list, and they're like, oh, go right in. There's actually many of times that we have snuck in video cameras and recorded the show. And got in fights with the security guards just to be let back in, because they just loved our entertainment. No, it's funny you bring up XPW, because XPW was around when the XFL was around,
right?
XFL is coming back,
right?
And there are a few times, you know, where I would have to update the audience of the current XFL game, because XPW decided to run a show during the XFL game in LA, but I kept the audience informed of the score. Right. This was way before Twitter, this was before texting. I don't even know how I found out how did I find out the scores?
I don't know.
We barely had cell phones, but somehow, it would be great for it to come back, because, you know, I mean, Terry Funk did come at me with his branding iron that was lit one time at the sports arena. It's on season 3 of the XPW DVD set. We're at the sports arena, and he charges at me with the branding iron, and I was legit scared at that moment. But being the asshole that I was back then, I acted like I wasn't scared, but I was really fucking scared. And in XPW, I think the wrestlers were allowed to hit you if they didn't like you.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, there were some good times in XPW.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, a lot of people came out of there that are doing very well. You know, I mean, obviously Kevin Kleinrock is doing his thing.
Yeah.
Chaos runs Sentinel Brothers School. Ultra Boy Luke is Luke Hawks now, and he's just doing tons of great shit. And his movies and all this other stuff. And obviously, GQ Money, Ryan Katz,
yep,
producer for NXT now. So
wow,
there's
some good stuff.
There's some good stuff that came out of there. I'm just, you know, if I had a dream match or a dream tag team of then and now, it would definitely have to be Angel and Velveteen Dream.
Oh, yeah.
Tag team match, whatever you want to do. That would be so great.
Angel.
Angel was the greatest. Yeah. Because I asked many people, even away from the ring, just in their homes and just out, like, just tell me the truth.
Right.
Is he or is he?
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, we don't even know. Like, come on, don't fucking lie to me. They're like, seriously, we don't even know. Like, we're saying, Angel, let's go to the strip club. We're like, nah. You don't want to go. Like, well, I mean, so.
Please, if you're listening and have never seen XPW, please look it up online. Look up Angel. He's great. Also, do me a favor, look up Dynamite D. If you've never seen Dynamite D, please, he passed away, I think it was 10 years ago now.
I think it's still 10 years on Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was a very big influence on a lot of the SoCal wrestling scene, trained a lot of the guys, and was just a wonderful human being. And this is the kind of stuff that if you're listening to us and you don't know the history of, you know, some of the wrestling independents, if you're just following one product now or the major brands, do your homework. Mm-hmm. Learn from these people, and then go further. Learn from Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, you know, Gino Hernandez, you know, guys who just in a flash were gone, but these were the guys who brought the innovation and the new vision to wrestling. And
it's so easy now because a lot of that's on the network.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For only $9.99 a month.
Exactly.
If you subscribe now, you get it for free. And what you can currently get, the current pay-per-views, I don't know when this is airing, so we'll just say Elimination Chamber, the March pay-per-view, and WrestleMania. There is a March pay-per-view this year. You know, a lot of people don't know. There actually is going to be a March pay-per-view this year.
Nice.
No, not nice. Because that means the WrestleMania build's only 4 weeks.
Yeah, true.
But, yeah, so a lot of it's on the network. You know, like I say, what's old is new.
I'm just listening.
Yeah, he's just listening.
I'm enjoying it.
So he's as what Dusty say, get under the learning tree.
You got to get under the learning tree.
I am definitely on the learning tree. But I do have a question, though. Because when Simon Street starts listening, usually means he's thinking.
I can tell.
Which doesn't happen quite often. But as many know, I am very passionate about a future dream of mine, which now I'm able to see. I want to see Vegas really come up in the indies and be a place for down the road where you see, you know,
up and coming talent,
and also too where the WWE just really likes to come down.
Oh, I thought you were talking about amateur night at
Yes, that as well. We already have that locked down. We can hit that up afterwards.
Now coming to the stage, Simon Street.
That's on Tuesdays. And, you know, I mean,
in a banana hammock. No.
But now, you do have, like, future stars of wrestling.
We do. Mm-hmm. All I'm merely saying is not like we don't have anything. We have promotions here. But I'm listening because, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And
so Bill Cosby said.
Exactly. Man, my words are not going good today. No, but I want to see that image happen for Vegas. I want to see us. I personally, honestly think that as you were experiencing today, seeing how the raving fans are, that's grown. We didn't used to have fans be at airports.
We'd sneak into the arenas.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about, but we didn't have that base, and I'm seeing it more and more and more. And for me, if there's anything that I can in the capacity to do or learn, that's where I'm geared towards. Because, you know, I may not be able to be a wrestler or anything like that, but I know my dream is to eventually to be able to have a hand in the business at some point. What are some things that on a local level can we do other than this podcast, which is a huge thing that we're trying to do, to try and elevate you know, some of the talent? Is it more exposure? Is it more just asking questions, seeking out people? I mean, we have people like Jake the Snake that's here. We got D-Lo. We got the Godfather that's here. We got people that are actually training people.
Going back to cheetahs, all right?
Godfather is here.
But I'm only naming a small few. But I'm just saying, like, what are some things that y'all would say would maybe be some good things to do?
We got about 5 minutes, so let's make it happen.
Wow, I thought this was the extended version.
Well, we can make it the extended if you want. I mean, it's up to you. You're the guest.
It sounds like Impact has to go to bed.
I mean, someone's got a curfew. He can go upstairs. We can finish the show all along. Just leave the fridge open.
Raven is an important man.
He's been asking me, and I'm like, I'm not coming to Vegas. I'm not coming. And then like, oh, I'm coming to Vegas, because I told Rome before, like, next time I'm in Vegas probably won't be till February. So it's now or never. I want you to know I did pass up Cracker Barrel today just to be
here. You did.
Almost called it an order, but. It's up to the talent when they want to. Yes, you do have like D'Lo. I think with D'Lo and Jake and Kazarni, they have a school year.
Yeah, they do have a school.
No, Vegas is good. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, ROH comes out of Vegas more than they do LA. So, you know, I mean, there's a home. I think ROH has a home here every March and September or something.
That's
like
right.
That.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now Impact Wrestling is showing up a little more.
Impact Wrestling's coming out here now. So, you know. Vegas is getting, I mean, technically, Vegas is getting more shows than LA is, you know?
Yeah. That's what I wanted to hear.
You know, I'm sure it's only a matter of time before New Japan hits Vegas, you know? So it's.
And you got a great crop of, I mean, you know, Jeff Cobb, Willie Mack.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who are on the rise and are getting attention now who, you know, base themselves in the area. And, you're going to see that, I think, more and more talent is going to be coming out of here. The young Uso.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The Uso's younger brother.
Yeah.
He's with Future Stars of Wrestling.
Okay.
And he looks really impressive. Like, if you transplanted him and put him with the Usos, he fit right. Other than the fact that they're obviously related. But I'm just saying, like, the whole moniker goes perfect together. So, yeah.
And I think, you know, with the expansion of sports coming here, you know, the new stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just figuring out how to do the shows. But I've heard about Future Stars for years and always heard good things, so it seems like they're doing well. I don't think Vegas is big enough to have multiple indie promotions like some other cities around, but, you know, you don't always need multiple promotions. You know, one is fine. You know, it's like, if it works, it works, you know. I think Vegas is doing well, you know. The East Coast obviously is hot because it's
the history's there.
It's the history, but it's also close. You know, it's only a train ride, hour ride. You hit Philly, New York, Jersey, people can travel a little bit more. You know, L.A. to the Bay Area, it's like a 6-hour drive. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, if you have a promotion in Philly, if you have a promotion in New York, and you have a promotion in Baltimore or Connecticut, like you can just hit those so quickly, you know, hour or two. So you may be working three shows every week, you know, because they're so close, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Florida's coming. I mean, Florida's always been Florida. There's always been wrestling in Florida, and you know, it's still staying hot. I think MLW started up, and you know, there's a few in Miami and so forth. But you know, it's up to the fans, you know, to support it. You know, I'm the first to say, I honestly don't watch too much wrestling. As odd as it sounds for people who know me, because they probably think I just sit and like, no, I
too
really
busy.
It's not even that. It's just it's hard to sit and watch. Like, I don't, I'm not one to sit and watch a computer screen. So right. I don't, the stuff that's on streaming, I don't watch. No, WWE Network, I kind of like to relive the old stuff that I watched, you know, from primetime wrestling. Just the other day, I was watching Starrcade 89. It's like, you know. So, I mean, obviously, I stay informative about the current product, you know. But as far as watch, I think my favorite show right now is SmackDown. You know, NXT is always going to be my favorite, but that's a bias because of people I know down there. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a big fan of SmackDown because, you know, the man is the moth.
Yeah, yeah, it's the moth.
Yeah. She's the man. I mean,
when you first said man at hour, did you know it was moth? I just curious.
Well,
because when you spelled it, I wasn't thinking man of the hour. I was like, moth? What the fuck?
Well, because the few shows that I do watch, one show I do watch is 205 Live, and it's actually Leo Rush's.
Hold
gig.
On, you watch actual 205?
I like 205.
Man, there's some people that's in our group that just hate and disdain 205.
It's like 35 minutes of just action.
You know what's funny?
You don't have to sit and watch the commercials. Nope. It's on demand, so you just fast forward to it. Like, I don't even watch the entrances. Like, just give me to the first bell, and bell to bell. It's like, no, but Moth is...
It's a great show.
It's Leo Rush's, no gimmick.
No. So I'm not a big Leo Rush fan.
Why?
Why? Because I have a little brother that sounds like him. And he reminds me of my little brother. And when I find VHS tape converted to it, I will play it for all of you guys, and you will see shades of that character. So that's... And that's a stupid way, the reason why I don't particularly big on him. But yeah, I mean, there's other people I do like. Gulak, I really like Gulak. I want Mustafa Ali to finally win the title, but they just keep yanking it back and forth, back and forth.
Maybe in Saudi Arabia next year.
That would be nice. I mean, it looks like Cedric's probably going to do it and get it back from Buddy, but we'll see. But Buddy's hot right now. I mean,
what's her name's on there? Maria Kanellis?
Yeah.
Out of every woman you've named all night long, you're
about Maria. No, there's a special.
Right. Now, the one thing I remember about the Bullet Club was the Bullet Babe. And
A special place in my heart for her, but I just, now when people say her name, I think of the theme song.
Oh.
And it just ruins it for me. This is me, though. But yeah, I mean, 205 is an awesome show.
I think it's great.
Do you think they sell 205 shirts in a, what, triple X? Or a blanket? Because we have a bet someone said a certain thing that's happening in SmackDown might not be fire. I won't go into detail. But if this person loses a bet, they have to wear a 205 shirt. And we're going to take pictures and everything. Because they hate 205. They've even said it, I think, on the air, right? They hate it. Then they said they hate the
product. He's talking about Lucky.
I can tell you. I can see he's talking about. I'm just waiting for him to say Lucky. It's like, I mean,
I'm just getting info.
Your foreplay sucks, dude.
You know what? Right in. You know what? I'm a young buck, and I don't do foreplay. It's just straight gunning, straight for it.
You're far from the young bucks, but still.
Well, it's true, but
how come he doesn't like 205 Live?
We've asked that for the longest. He won't say.
Well, I just think he's mainly into the main. Product, he's which is the, Raw the, and SmackDown, and that's pretty much it.
I mean, bullshit. NXT. That's not good enough. You're giving him an out. He does not give a legitimate reason. But we've asked him that.
But he doesn't watch like ROH or Impact or any of that. Even if you tell him to watch any of those,
I know. But
it's mainly the main product.
But I get what you're saying.
So I have a question.
But why?
We're taping this. The day before SmackDown is in Vegas.
Yeah, he's gonna have to watch.
So is he gonna show up to the arena late, or is he just like gonna like just walk around the arena when 205 Live is on?
My point exactly. He'll probably say restroom break. That's what
he's
said.
Got all the tickets too. So we're gonna miss the first half of the whole fucking show.
No, he's gonna show up early. But the point I'm making is he just never has given me a reason. I hear your reasoning behind it. That's the logical reasoning. But for someone to disdain it that much and not even give it a chance irritates me. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of talent I don't like, you know, that's on the roster, I take the time to watch.
Maybe it's because it's a bunch of small guys, and this he maybe
that's
just,
the answer I wanted to get out of him. He won't say it.
They're not the Lars Sullivans and the
wait. Like Vince. He hates Lars Sullivan.
Yeah, he knows. He hates Lars Sullivan. Wow. We had a conversation about this.
Yeah.
Yes, he hates him.
Why does he hate Lars Sullivan?
Who the fuck knows?
He doesn't say why.
You know, it's like if you
does he like Keith Lee?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I think he does like Keith Lee. I think he loves like.
Do you think he does?
Yeah.
Wow.
When I grilled him yesterday, I said, so you watch NXT all the time? Oh yeah, yeah. So you know, there's a lot of big dudes on there. And he's like, oh, change the subject. I was like, okay.
Is he a Ricochet fan?
I don't know. You should ask him.
I don't think he's ever brought up Ricochet.
Nah.
it's odd.
I just want to know.
I'm pretty sure he's an Undisputed Era fan.
Yes, definitely. But look at the size of those guys.
No, but I don't. It's not even about the size. I just see him like doing the hand thing all the time.
So yeah, he does.
I think he walks around doing it. It's his new too sweet. You know, he can do the Undisputed Era thing. Which, honestly, a true story. I never understood what the hand signal meant until I played the fucking video game. And then when Adam Cole came out in the video game, and it was like an animated version, I'm like, oh wow, he's making a U and a E.
You didn't know that?
I had no clue.
Oh.
So thanks to 2K19 that just came out 2 months ago, like I had no. That's like I know everyone's thinking, oh, he's a fucking idiot. Like, why is he on the show?
Yeah, no. What are you talking about? Everybody loves 2K. I have not had a chance to play it.
I'm saying the people who are listening to this is like he didn't even know what the hand. Like, no, I really didn't. Like, I just thought it was something like weird and like I couldn't make it out.
Did you think it was like two West Sides?
I thought it was something.
Because a lot of people say that. They think it's like two, because the way that they do it, it looks kind of like they're doing the West Side, but it's not.
No, I knew it wasn't that because none of them are from the West Side.
No,
not but, even. I mean, Roderick's from the West Side of Tampa, but, you know, but but no, I just, and it was literally the video game, and I'm like, wow, I figured it out.
That's right, kids. He is your dad's age.
Hey, you know what? And that's actually a good segue.
To kids? No.
No, never. Not to kids. Never. We already know where you stand on that one.
They would all be named after wrestlers.
That's actually not so bad. No. With WWE 2K19, you've been playing it. We had a conversation earlier where I just have not had a chance to play it, and I'm a gamer, which is sad, but I just haven't had a chance to actually play it. What would you say is the best fascinating thing for you playing the game that you enjoy doing? It doesn't have to be in depth, but for you, what do you like about the game?
Shayna Baszler.
Okay. Is she as vicious and calculated as she is?
She's
on as show?
Crazy. She's a nut.
That's awesome.
She's crazy.
That's awesome.
You know.
All right. I'm excited.
Yeah. So. No, and I think I'm really honest about that because I've known Shayna for a while, and her background and her age, and everyone's like, oh, you know, she got the gig because of Ronda. I'm like, if you were Ronda's friend, wouldn't you try to get the fucking gig too?
Yeah, like, I'll get the gig and just take a bump.
It's like, you know, I mean, for them, because everyone's like, oh, you know, she's older, and like, you can bring up every excuse, but still, to the fact, if you want to say she got a contract because she's Ronda's friend, okay, we can all probably see aspects of that. Her being a two-time NXT champion has nothing to do with Ronda Rousey.
I think she got the goods. I mean, and to be honest, it's weird that you say that because for me, it never even crossed my mind. But again, that's only because I remember I followed her whenever she was doing mixed martial arts. So I already knew she was a badass anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like the transition over, which is like anybody who comes over from mixed martial artists. Yeah, there's that transition curve that you kind of have to do. And just like Ronda, she's learning and she's blending in perfectly. She held her own.
But gone are the days of a person like Dan Severn. Yeah. Who didn't translate into the Federation, whereas now you're seeing that they get it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. She puts in the time.
Yeah.
She gets it. She's listening to the instruction, and she is a rising star.
But at the same time, she's also a fan.
Exactly.
Like, you know, exactly. I don't know how many past MMA stars were actually fans.
Yeah.
Like, she was a fan. Like, she paid for her PWG ticket and sat front row at PWG all the time.
Well, you that's know? What people didn't understand about Ronda, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Ronda's a fan. You know, she's not as big of a fan as Shayna, but she is a fan. And Ronda's still learning a lot about the company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, but she's growing with the company at the same time. And she's also one of the faces of the company. You know, she's the female face of WWE right now. So, despite, you know, is Becky a little bit more creative recently? Yes. But, you know, Ronda's like the face. And Ronda's like, you know, I know a lot of people knock her, but it's like, you know, that just shows how great she is. You know, everyone's like, oh, she got her ass kicked in the UFC. I'm like, well, who's undefeated in UFC anyway?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, Brock Lesnar lost his first match in UFC. Brock Lesnar got knocked out, you know, again in UFC.
You could be like Punk and not win at all.
Yeah.
You know, but it happens.
But, you know, I mean, but
I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying it happens as part of the gig.
But Punk is different because Punk was never an athlete. You know, Ronda's a judo athlete.
It's true. That's a very good point. Very good point.
But, you know, it's like no one's undefeated in the UFC. The people who beat Ronda then got their asses kicked. Mm-hmm. So it's like.
Well, and also, too, it was changing, too. If you look at the caliber of competitors right around that time, I mean, no offense. I mean, the women they were cranking out were certified Terminators.
Yeah,
I mean, they were just like.
They kept feeding people to Ronda. And it was like eventually someone was going to catch her. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's the same with McGregor.
Yep.
They kept feeding McGregor. McGregor wanted to fight 3-4 times a year. It's like eventually you're going to get caught. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, look how dominant DC is. But there's only one person he can never beat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Jon Jones, you know? Yep. So it's like. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, if you look at UFC now, a lot of UFC people are kind of taking that sports entertainment aspect of pro wrestling and using it, because I think you should, you know.
Well, I mean, UFC's writers are getting better.
Of course.
Very much better.
Of course. I almost got blocked by a UFC employee for saying that. Who's actually a former WWE employee, so I thought he would get the joke, but he didn't. Speaking of which, I think we should go to the UFC Performance Institute tomorrow.
Oh my gosh! Who mentioned that long time ago? I want y'all to say it.
I'm just saying just to go eat, because the cafeteria is fucking amazing.
I just want to take a tour. I was promised a tour by someone, so I want to go on the tour.
Is this another... lucky innuendo?
No, it's not a lucky innuendo. No. This is something that I was talking about because, you know, UFC's on my radar.
This guy over here. I know he has a few UFC connections that, you know, never been hooked up with.
No. It's nobody at the table. It's someone that I acquired on my own. And
I think he knows, like, the president of the president.
The president of valet.
Yeah. But, UFC, you know, I see more UFC stars coming to pro wrestling.
It makes sense. It just makes sense.
Especially if they try to end their career early. I want to see Ronda's husband, Travis, against Braun Strowman, you know.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, become one of the Wyatts. I think he would be a great Wyatt.
Yeah, he'd have been perfect.
So, he has a look, so.
Mm-hmm. By the way, really strong handshake. He shook my hand real hella strong. I was like, oh, shit.
What'd you think?
I know that sounded really bad, but I'm just saying.
What the hell? Like, what do you think?
Nah, I know that. I was, you know, when you shake most people's hands, you know, you get a firm handshake, but his handshake wasn't like he was trying to break my hand, but I'm just saying, like, he just had a handshake, like.
He's a fighter.
I know. Shit, man. I was like, I wasn't prepared for it, I guess. My dumbass. Shit.
I know Cain Velasquez went to the performance center to train a couple, but not sure how that went. Think he's going to stay in the UFC.
Think so?
It's tough down there. Yeah.
I want to see how tough it is. I really want to see.
There's
to be real with you, if I could afford videos. I'd like to go even if I crash and burn just to say, hey, you know what? F it.
Well, they don't.
I know. They don't just say, hey, open the door and see if you fucking fail.
Well, they had the one day, like, fantasy camp. It's like 25.
But it's not as hard as what the real trial.
Well, they don't actually put you.
Probably because liability or something. Yeah.
Your ass would not get past that first. You would.
I know it would. I just want to know. I just want to feel it and be like, oh, yeah, that's it. Okay.
Well, fuck, get up and do like 100 burpees right now, and hey, there you go. You know what's sad? You can't do that.
But
you're
what's sad? I can do 50 of them.
Yeah, that is sad, because you need to do 100.
But here's the bad thing. I won't even wake up the next day. So the 100's the quality. I'm just, look, it sounds stupid as hell. I'm just saying, I want to be able to, if I couldn't witness it or if I could witness it, I just want to see it because it is impressive. It is very impressive, because that was the thing long time ago that people would say, oh, well, you know, other than the line, wrestling's fake or there's not much to it. I've heard tons of people my whole life who just didn't know nothing about it saying, oh, it's not that much. It's not a big deal. But you have, like you said, professional athletes. You have people from mixed martial artists who are going and trying out, and they're like, this is way too goddamn tough. That's a beautiful thing to see. It's like Darwinism.
It's awesome. I think it's awesome who the trainer is. Like, who would ever thought that Prince Albert would
seriously
be like,
yeah. Tensai.
You'd get one Tensai. You'd get one shot from Bloom, and you'd be fucking out there and being like, Ryan, can I get some ice cream, please? Because I'm done. Give me some cat's ice
But see, cream. That's the weird thing about me. I would actually do that and enjoy it. I don't know if I'd finish. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm trying to sound tough for him. But be like, damn, I felt that. So now I have that story. You know, so yeah. I could tell somebody, look, this is not bullshit. You know, these people aren't wasting their time. It's not what you see on TV. These people are really putting themselves out there, and they're honing in their craft. It's a really real job. I don't know. That's just me. I've always been that person where I want to have as much of experience as I could be let, so that I can have that personal experience. Like, yeah, this shit's real.
Hey, Raven's agent is telling me to wrap it up. So what other questions y'all have?
Oh, is that what he does? I thought he was like doing like homework over there or something.
Did you say Raven's agent?
Yeah.
His agent?
Are you Asian?
His agent.
Oh! I thought you said his Asian. That makes sense too.
I really thought he was like doing home or something else. Like,
he's our sound guy.
Oh, I had no clue he was part of this.
Darryl's been lying the whole time. He doesn't do any of this.
Oh, this is just like for show.
It's for show.
Oh,
he's our sound guy.
But why is he doing it? Why is he doing it for show? Is this on the web or something?
This is the camera right there in the corner.
No, I'm looking for other cameras. I see that one. I saw the one outside.
We can't tell you all the cameras.
Yeah, just don't go into the bathroom.
I see those in the... So he is actually part of the show. No. I really thought he was.
He's not a part of the show. They're just messing with it.
Oh. No, I was
but we
like,
should have him be part of the show now because that shit works.
I really thought he was like. No, I really thought he was just back there like doing work and doing the, like.
Good job, man. Appreciate it.
Wow.
right.
I've been on Howard Stern. I've been on Howard Stern. I see how it works over there.
Oh, that was fucking
weird. We are at an hour and 15, I believe.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No.
That's not bad at all.
Maybe we'll have to fly back out and do it.
How did it feel?
I feel great.
It's fun, huh?
Yeah.
There you go.
Better than having caffeine, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, well, shit. If it's better than having caffeine, you might be regular.
And wait till you see what's coming up in the next few weeks, man. I'll tell you. It's going to be stuff. Some good stuff coming.
I'm going to have to fly back out. But I hear music, so I can't even continue on with... I'll write down all these other stories I have about a certain engineer or someone.
I love hearing those stories. Like,
if I can find
the looks on his face. The looks on his face when I'm getting kicked out. He's like,
yeah.
He's like, I drove all the way from Carson for this shit.
Vegas Bad Boy Podcasting. You can always find us by putting in that name in Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Make sure you like us, follow us, and we'll have all that information and fun stuff.
And ladies, slide your pictures in the DMs.
Until then, Raymond, thanks for coming. Simon Street, till next time.
All right.
Matt Michaels, peace.
Peace.